This is Sean with Voices Live On and Voices of Sailing and U.S. Military Stories, and I'm here with Peter McClellan and
Carla.
So have you ever been sailing before?
I have maybe two times in my life.
Two times in your life. So what is this experience like for you?
It's great. It's just be asked to be on a boat's an honor, so I'm just enjoying the experience.
And what branch of the military were you in?
Marine Corps.
Marine Corps. And when did you go in?
I was actually, it's a funny story, it was 1969. I was teaching high school my first year out of college.
Okay.
And I got my deferment declined, and then I got my 1A, and then I got my draft notice. And I was still teaching, and the school board got me a waiver to finish the school year because I was teaching a course that the kids had to take a test, and that would be disrupt their class and so forth. So they pushed my date back till July, and I decided to enlist in the Marine Corps rather than go in the Army, and that's what I did.
So what was your original, did you have original motivation growing up going into the military?
Not really. I was, my father was in the Army in World War II. And I graduated high school and went to 4 years of college and got a teaching degree, and that's what my career was going to be. And I started doing that, and then
got drafted.
And that changed.
My dad did as well. He went in the Navy. He was on a destroyer. So where were you? Where'd you go through boot camp?
I went to Parris Island in July, August, and September. Nice months to be there with no air conditioning. But and then basically I was the... After I went to infantry school at Camp Lejeune, we were the first group since the Marines started going over there in the Vietnam War that they held up our orders because Nixon had come on and said they're going to start to withdraw, and the Marines were first in country, so they were going to be taken out on a schedule first. So I came within like 5 days of going over, and they changed our orders, and I just stayed stateside.
So you never had to go? Sure, you're pretty nervous.
Yes and no. One thing, if the guys went over, they could get out early if you did your 13 months there with your 6 months training to get there to go there. Then you could get out in 18 months instead of 2 years. And over there, you made more money. And most of the guys I knew that went overseas. They liked being over there and to some extent, and then came back, and they had a nice little nest egg for themselves.
Right. So how long were you active?
2 years, and I was in active reserves for the 4 years, so a total of six.
So in your active duty, what were some of the roles that you had or ranks?
I made, in my 18th month of being in, I made corporal, so the NCO. At that point, and I was stationed with an air wing of the Marines in New Jersey down, and there was a helicopter.
Tacking. We are tacking. You live in Yarmouthport?
Yes.
And how close is that to here?
From the harbor, it's about 4 miles.
4 miles?
Yes.
So what, did you continue in teaching?
No, actually, I taught for a total of, I think, 5 or 6 years, and in the course of that, I was taken out of the classroom and made a dean of students, so to speak, and that wasn't really to my liking, and so after 2 years of that, I decided to change careers, and I ended up coming to the Cape just because I used to come here with my family when I was young, and thought it was a nice place to go. So I showed up here without a job, didn't know anybody, worked construction for a while, heard about the summer program the police departments have here, and I signed up and actually got hired in Dennis. So I worked for a summer as a walking beat cop in around the motel district from 8 at night to 4 in the morning.
Well, that's fun.
And then, 6 days a week. And then I took the test for Yarmouth, the full-time test, in that summer, and in April of the next year, I got the call that they picked me, and I went to the police academy. I was the oldest guy in the police academy. I was 34 years old.
Wow.
And graduated from that and started my full-time career in the Army, and I did 30 years.
That's amazing. So what rank did you achieve as an officer?
I never took a promotional exam because the 1 year after on the street as my first year, there an opening came up in the canine unit, and I wanted to do that. So I got picked. Normally you have to have 3 years experience to get a canine position, but they gave me credit for my military background and my education and so forth. So they said, let me have it with 1 year experience. And I did it for 29 straight years, and I loved it. And if I took a promotional exam, I'd have to give up the position. My department doesn't have a rank, a sergeant or anything that can have a dog. So I never bothered to take the test. I just stay with my dogs.
And I see the sweatshirt you have on is for Sean Cannon. Were you involved in that scenario?
Yeah, yes. What happened the day of the incident when he was shot, I was off duty. I was retired. I was just home. And I got a call from one of the staff and said, would you come down to the hospital? That Sean, we didn't know at the time that he had died, but they said he was shot and he was injured. So I showed up at the hospital, and they said, he has two dogs at home, and we want you to go out and, you know, take care of them, feed them, and so forth. And I was about to do that, and then they got word that Sean's canine, Nero, was not accounted for. They were at the scene, so they said, go out to the scene and see what you can do, and if you find a dog, you know, bring them back to your house and take care of them until this gets settled. So when I got out there, they found out they didn't have any idea where he was. He could still be in the house. He could have gotten out a back way and was running around the neighborhood. They had no idea. So we waited for a SWAT to clear the house. And when they cleared it, they found him in the upper eaves of the attic.
Wow.
And found out he'd been shot. And so I was waiting at the door when they brought him out and just carried him into the back of a cruiser. And we already had called ahead to a veterinary, an all-night place in Dennis. And I brought him there, and what happened there, I ended up staying there with the night with him. He had been shot through just below his eye and went through, put two holes in his trachea and one in his esophagus.
Oh, my God.
And the bullet ended up in his shoulder. So the next day at 6 o'clock in the morning, we went to their big facility, which is in Bourne. We had an escort. All the canine guys showed up. And I went in the van with the vet and the technician, and they had a driver. And we brought him down to the main facility, which is in Bourne. And I stayed with him for a week around the clock, helping. You know, he was on IVs. He was on all kinds of stuff. And it just made it easier for the tech stuff because he knew me and he was good with me. So we did that for a whole week. And then he got cleared to go home, and they gave him to me for almost 4 months to rehab him. And then, because he was still on medication, and my wife and I had to give him pills and medicine on a schedule for the first couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he started, got off that, and then I had to restrict his movement because of his neck with the stitches and so forth. So that was the hardest part. He's a very active dog, and he wanted to go, and I couldn't.
How long ago was this?
It was a year. April 12th was this.
So a year.
Yeah, 1 year.
How's the dog?
He's fine. As a matter of fact, I just had him 2 days ago. Dara is Sean's wife. She was going off Cape, okay. And I took him just and gave him some exercise.
Keep
took
that
him. Take him swimming,
and
yeah, gave him a bath, did his nails. So I help her out on a regular basis. So it's good for me because I get to see him and I get to exercise him and give him a little more activity than she can do. So it works out great, and she likes it because it gives her a break. So
I'm sure he's retired from duty at this point.
Yes, he is. It was Sean's wish. If the first choice was have his wife take him if she wanted him, and his second choice was if Dara didn't want him, that he could be taken by a canine officer. And we went with the first choice. Dara wanted him, and that's we honored his wish, and that's what happened.
Has he fully recovered, healed?
100%. He could, awesome. If he had to work tomorrow.
Good job.
He could do it.
Good job.
Thank you.
he told me 3 months of restricted duty when I had him. And after 2 months, the surgeon said, you can start letting him run a little bit and do stuff. He's way ahead of schedule. So, and at that point, where he was shot was covered up. The hair grew back. You couldn't see that. And he had no problem doing anything. He was full, ready to go in 2 months. Which, if a person had his type of injury, they'd be probably in the hospital for 6 months to a year. But I think one of the main reasons I was invited with the veterans here, I am a veteran, but Bob had heard about what we did with Nero and his recovery and how the community and everybody thinks. So he knew Steve Exaros and they invited me, and that's why I'm here.
Well, I think that's very deserving for what you did in that terrible situation to be able to help, basically let the pet live on from the owner. And I think that's beautiful.
It's been a very long year. We had to do a lot of plays. I was on the news. They had these news conferences. I had to bring the dog in for those and various things. And we just got back last Wednesday from Police Week in D.C. They have that every year. And Sean's name was put on the memorial wall in D.C. We had a big ceremony, and we were there for that, and they had a candlelight vigil. And for our little department, we had 75 people attend Police Week to honor him. And his parents were there, and Dara's, his wife's parents were there. And the president, actually on the last day, the president gave us a speech in front of the Capitol for all the police officers. So that was kind of special. And now, hopefully, everybody, for a small town, it was very hard for everybody. Sean was a great guy, and we're a very close-knit community, and it's been a rough year for a lot of people.
So. What was your kind of take on the whole experience?
I wouldn't have wanted it any different. And we had Nero from a pup, so we knew him probably better than anybody. So it wouldn't have changed a thing.
Did you have any other pets?
We didn't have any at that point.
Kobe was down.
Yeah, because we had to have our other dog put down. But no, we didn't have any other pet at the time.
So this ended up filling a pretty good void in a great way.
Yep, and it still does.
That's great. Yeah. Does he like getting in the ocean? Does the dog like getting in the ocean?
Yes, he swims. Well, we tied it mostly. I live right on a pond. It's fresh water. And it makes it easy because what happens, people don't realize, if you swim your dog in the ocean, two things bad can happen. One, if they swallow too much water, they get sick. And I've seen that happen many times. And if you don't rinse the salt off them, it can irritate their skin.
Okay.
So it's simpler to just go down to the fresh water, throw him in and let him swim, dry him off with a towel, and he's good to go.
And we're within walking distance, so we just take him down.
Yeah, he went for his first swim this week. It was
Wednesday or Thursday.
Thursday. So he had his first swim of the year. So.
Well, I commend you for helping Sean's memory live on through, and it's
Nero.
Through Nero.
N-E-R-O.
All right. Well, I thank you for your time, and you'll be able to see these or hear these here and see both at Voices of Sailing, also USMilitaryStories.com. And the Crown Haven Wealth Advisors basically supports us out here doing this for everybody, as well as Smart Money Radio on WIBC. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You got it.